Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
With the reading of the word of the Lord, Acts chapter 26, verses 24 and 25. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. Paul said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. And so this procurator of Judea has announced to the whole world that Paul is mad. The word mad in the scripture is not as we use it today for angry. It is the synonym in Bible times for the word crazy. I want to talk to you about crazy faith for a few moments today. You may be seated. Festus is analyzing Paul and coming to the conclusion that he is crazy. The world's analysis of us is important. Analysis, yes, not approval. We do not need the world's approval to be what God has called us to be. The fact that we are warned to be alarmed if the world positively judges us. Beware if all men say you are amazing and you are great. Be aware, he said, so we know that they will analyze us. But the Bible defines us with a very unique word. And you have to realize that the words in the scripture, even the King James, which is now a couple of thousand years old, are not always best defined by what we would call them in our vernacular. So when you talk about mad, it's crazy. And so the Bible defines us in a very unique way, and I've always found it to be very, very rewarding and enlightening of who we really supposed to be. In 1 Peter, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. About six or eight times the word particular is used in the Bible. Twice in the New Testament, about six, I think, in the Old Testament. But every time it's used in the same context. And it's never weird, and it's never strange. It's always used as a set-apart. The word peculiar, you are a set-apart people. And so the world would look at us as peculiar or crazy, but God looks at us as a set-apart people. You are distinguished from those that are around you. If God cannot distinguish you and God cannot define you, then God cannot design for you. In order for God to be able to design exactly what he needs to do in your life, he has to set you apart. He has to define you as being different from those around you. God is not real big on splash over blessing. Some people just want to get the overflow from the cup that David drinks from, but I'd like to have my own cup. I don't want just the dregs or just the leftovers, but I want God to design particularly for me. And so the degree of peculiarity that exists in me decides the dimension of my blessing. Because the more I am particular or set apart by God, the more God can literally customize a blessing for me. And that is in every area of your life, spiritually, mentally, physically, financially. You become a unique person that God designs just for you. It's not one size fits all. When you put on the robe of God's blessing, it has been tailor-made to you if you are peculiar. And it's not too big or too small. It fits you comfortably and stylishly. You look good in the blessing of the Lord. And that's what he means when he said you're a peculiar people. You look good in the blessing of the Lord. Even those that do not know your God know that your God has blessed you because you are peculiar. I've had pastors ask me, how is it seems to be so easy for you? It's not easy, but it is peculiar. It is designed just for me. In the Bible, in Exodus, it says, "Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me." He says in Deuteronomy 14:2, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth." Peculiar people, designed, set apart. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 18, "The Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he has promised thee." Psalm 135 and 4, "For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure." Peculiar is always, always associated with treasure, always. Ecclesiastes, "He gathered unto me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and the provinces. I get me men singers and women singers, and delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts." So when you're up here, it's not just up here, but you say, "I am a peculiar treasure of the Lord. God gave me the gift to sing. God gave me the gift to play on stringed instruments. God gave me the gift to play on, because I am peculiar. I am set apart. And if I will recognize my peculiarity in the Lord, it sets me apart from other people. Good things that will happen to me that will not happen to my next door neighbor or the people that I work with, because my blessing is from the Lord and because the Lord knows my size. If you have a tailor and you actually have your clothes tailored after a few trips, he knows exactly your size, and he can fit that to you. You are a peculiar person. I used to have a friend that came to San Antonio. Way back in the old days, there used to be a shirt maker in San Antonio. He was absolutely the best. This would be in the late 70s. And so my friend, we were starting church. I lived on $200 a week. That was it. No expenses, no nothing, $200 a week. And so he would come down here, the shirt maker, and he'd always call me, and he'd say, "Do you want to go with me to the shirt maker?" And I'd say, "Yeah, we go eat." And he'd always buy me lunch. I didn't hardly have lunch money in those days. Come about 1976 or something. And so I'd say, "Yeah, let's go." So we go to this shirt, and those shirts would start at about $100 to $200 a piece in 1975. And he had those shirts made just perfect. And I just go, and so I went three or four times, and so he said to me one time, the shirt maker did, when the other preacher was out of earshot, he said, "Why don't you ever buy any shirts?" I said, "Too expensive." He said, "Oh, they don't have to be that expensive." He said he wants them to be that expensive. He said if they were not that expensive, he wouldn't buy them. He said, "If you want these same shirts he's getting, if you won't tell him, I'll make them for you for $25. And so we'd go down there, and he would pay $125 and up to $175, and I would pay $25. He never did know what I was paying, because he said he wanted to pay that much. But that tailor got to know me. Friend, I'm going to tell you, I've got a God that even when it looks like I can't afford it, he can make me something that fits, praise God. And people say, "I just don't understand." It's called the favor of peculiarity. I am peculiar in the Lord's sight. I have been set apart to be blessed. Pastor Brandon can tell you that the last 5 months, our business during all this pandemic has been the best it's ever been. We sold 5 horses yesterday on one day, Saturday. It just keeps rolling in. Why is that? We're blessed of the Lord because we are peculiar, but you've got to begin to see yourself that way. I'm not normal. I'm abnormal. What are you? I am a purpose. I am a person of tremendous faith. Tremendous faith. You've got to realize I've got faith. And my faith is not decided on what's happening. My faith is decided on the Word of God. And so my faith does not change according to circumstance, because my faith is defined by the Word of God. We're made to realize that God is a God of promise and He is a God of performance. And it is not dependent or contingent upon the circumstances that are around us. In the middle of all of this, you ought to be the most blessed you've ever been. You ought to be saying, God, do you ever just wake up? I wake up about 3 o'clock every morning. Every morning I wake up, and so I just lay there. I'm like Freddie Price. I just lay there this morning, and I begin to talk about the blood of Jesus. And I just talked about the blood, and I called it on this church, and I called it over Becky, and I called it over Sean, and over Brandon, and Mandy, and Tyler, and Jaden. And then I started calling your names, as many names as I could think, pleading the blood of Jesus Christ, that what we're going through will not affect us for the negative, but it will encourage us for the positive. Because we are not a normal people, we are a peculiar people. And peculiarity demands that we have faith that is not normal. Not normal. We believe that out of all of this will come the greatest blessing that we've ever seen or ever experienced in our life. And so we're made to realize that the world doesn't understand that. They're going to say that we're crazy, just like Festus said about Paul. You are crazy, man, because all of their judgments are made from a carnal mind, and that is a component of death. To be carnally minded is to be dead. It is death. And so they judge you in a way that they simply have no bearing or understanding or reference or touch point to judge you. Why can you sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Why can you be happy in the midst of sorrow? Why can you be blessed when there is a pandemic? Is this a judgment? I don't even know. Don't even care, because it's not affecting me, because I am peculiar. I'm set apart, praise God. In the midst of this, the Lord is going to do great things in my life. The unsaved operate from an arena of senses and flesh. Anything spiritual or faith is assessed with derision. And so if you've not been called or at least thought of as being crazy, you've never operated in a high level of faith. Because when you begin to operate in a high level of faith, those that are carnal-minded, which is the majority of the people that are around you, they're going to look at you and say, she's crazy, he's crazy. But after a while, after they have judged you crazy, then they have to try to analyze the results and figure out why that you're being blessed like you are. 14 times in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, it says, and by faith, and by faith, and by faith. We need to learn to live a life of faith. To highlight just a couple, Noah built a boat. To the ridicule of all of his peers. You know, he's out there working on that boat, and they said, he is absolutely crazy. Abraham and Sarah start talking about having a baby. He was 100 years old, and she was 90 years old. You know that people weren't saying, yeah, that's a good idea. You need to start a family. Yeah, no question about it. They were saying, they behind their back and to their face, they were saying they're crazy. I'm just asking you, as a peculiar, set apart person, do you have any crazy faith that just says, I know that my God is going to do great things in my life, and I don't care what's happening in this world, praise God, my God is able? David feigned craziness. One time he was surrounded by the enemy, and he had just killed Goliath a little bit before that. And so King Achish said, we finally got him. We are going to avenge Goliath's death. And all of a sudden, David just started acting like he was crazy. It was a very humbling spirit. Let me tell you, to have crazy faith will be an humbling experience for you, because it's going to cause people that you love, like, respect around you to point their finger of derision and accuse you of being crazy. But David feigned craziness, and because of this, even though he was by himself, he didn't have any of his soldiers with him, he's by himself, he escaped death because of his crazy faith that the Lord was able to bring him out of this situation. Friend, I want to tell you that crazy faith is actions that are judged absurd by others, but you know the Lord has told me to do that. The more carnal the critic, the crazier the faith. Much of what we do as Christians in faith is viewed by the world as crazy. Even when you teach from the Word of God, it makes no sense to the carnal mind. Isaac sowed in the famine. That makes no sense. Abraham sacrificed Isaac on the mountain after God had given him this miracle child. It makes no sense. Gideon reduced his army from a great army down to 300 and then got the victory. But that is crazy. David put off his armor of Saul and said, I'll just go out there in my street clothes and fight the biggest man on the planet. That's crazy. It's crazy faith. Peter decided he would leave the boat in the midst of a storm and join Jesus for a stroll on the water. That's crazy. The widow was running out of food, and so she gives away her last meal to the prophet, and suddenly there is an amazing production in her life to where the meal barrel never runs out. That's crazy. Four lepers sat in there so weak that they can barely live, decided they'll get up and they'll attack the Syrian camp. And the Bible said, while they were going, praise God, God amplified their footfall. It sounded like an army going toward. That is crazy. It's crazy faith. Paul and Silas were thrust into the prison. Instead of saying, well, it's over, they begin to praise God just like they had a victory. That is crazy. Crazy acquisition. Crazy warfare. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that all the things that God will do in our life will be crazy, and the world will think they are foolish, but God will use them to bring the enemy under our subjection. Praise God. The widow just had two mites, and she gave her last two mites. That is absolutely crazy. Naaman said, what you want me to do? And he said, go down to the Jordan River and just dip yourself seven times. Naaman struggled with that because it did not make sense. Let me tell you, sometimes common sense is a real enemy to faith. When we were building the church next door in 1983, we ran slap out of money, couldn't get a loan, and so we just came to a grinding halt, a grinding standstill. And so the Lord spoke to me to do something crazy. And so I went and I bought, and I'm not a carpenter. I went and bought me a toolbox and put some tools in it. And I went and bought me some carpenter overalls. And they got little things where you can hang tools on them. I hung those tools on them and just walked around the building like I was a carpenter. It was just stupid. And the guy that was trying to build a building, he was there. And he said, what are you doing? I said, the Lord told me to put on these carpenter's overalls because he is going to open the door for us to finish. This is just a symbol. He was a spirit-filled brother, but he still looked at me like I was crazy. Well, nothing happened. The next day I got up, and I was so broke. I was so broke. And I'm not telling you to do this. I'm just telling you it worked for me because it was crazy, Tammy. Because the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to go buy a new car by faith today because the money's on the way. I went and bought a brand new Lincoln that day and drove up to a building that we couldn't afford to drive a nail in. And the very next day, a woman gave us $1 million loan to finish that building, and we'd been waiting on it months. God is speaking to some of you right now that you're supposed to have crazy faith and just do something you've never done and not hang your head and say, I think it's the end of the world. I've had a lot of people tell me it's the end of the world. Church will never be the same again. They'll never come back. People are never coming back to church. That's exactly what the devil wants you to think. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, not is it only going to come back. It's going to be bigger than it's ever been. Because I have a great promise that in the last days that God is going to show himself strong. He's going to pour out his spirit without limitation. He's going to gather a harvest like we have never seen before. Praise God. God is absolutely able to do it. And my faith says that we are on the precipice of the greatest thing we've ever seen. It's going to be shocking the number of people get saved. It's going to be shocking the dimension of miracles we find ourselves involved in. God is going to work in our families. He's going to save people that we've been trying to get saved for years. The pressure is on, but the pressure should be on the unsaved, not the saved. This should be affecting those that don't believe in God. This should be affecting those people that won't turn to God. But that we that are peculiar, it ought to set us apart from them. How are you being blessed? How are you keeping your job? How are you getting a promotion? How are you getting a raise? Where'd you get that check from? God wants to show himself strong. And this is a particularly unique advantage for the Lord to show himself strong in your behalf. Every day, get up and confess, the Lord is on my side. God is going to use this, and he is going to bless me in such a way that those that have held my faith in derision are going to have to admit it works, it works, it works. God is supplying their need. God is taking care of them. Praise God. I believe in the miracle of God. I believe in the power of God. I've seen God do impossible things. Years ago, there was a pastor here in the area, and he was from a denomination that frowned on us because we didn't believe that holiness was a dress code, and he went into a coma, and people had been praying for him for a couple of weeks, and he was downtown in the old Nick's Hospital. I never will forget it. He was an older guy by that time. He was probably my age then, and so they finally called on me and said, will you go down and pray for my daddy? He said, everybody's been down there and said they don't give him any time to live. I went down there and prayed for that old man. And he'd been in a coma for about 2 weeks. And while I was praying in that old Nick's Hospital, how many people have ever been to the Nick's? I was in that old Nick's Hospital praying. And all of a sudden, while I was praying for that old preacher, his eyes opened. He said, Brother Steve, what are you doing here? I said, I came to pray the prayer of faith. And friend, he came out of that coma while I was praying the prayer of faith. And within 24 hours, he was back in his home. And he lived several more years without any problem. That's the kind of crazy faith I've got. I don't think anything is too hard for God. I believe God is able to heal you. I believe God's able to save your family. I believe God's able to give you the money you need. I believe God's able to save your children. I believe God's able to give you joy you've never had. My God is able. And I'm just asking you to realize that faith is a substance of things hoped for. Get the hope in your mind. What are you hoping for? What are you dreaming about? The evidence of things not seen. That's a big phrase. That means you don't need any evidence at all. Well, it's looking like it's getting, it don't matter how it looks. It's what God says. Can you stand on the word of God and say, I don't see anything, but it doesn't matter. The man went out and Elijah said, what do you see? And he said, I don't see anything. And he sent him out seven times and he never saw a thing. And finally he said, go back one more time. And he said, well, finally I saw a cloud as a man's hand. What was he saying? The man's hand was Elijah's faith was what he was seeing. Ladies and gentlemen, that's your hand, is your faith in God. It doesn't matter what the drought is. It doesn't matter what the climate is. Praise God, my faith creates my own climate. My faith fights for me. And my faith says the best days of my life are yet ahead of me. I'm going to be more blessed. I'm going to win more souls. I'm going to have greater anointing. I'm going to see more signs. I'm going to have more miracles. My faith is just off the chart, ladies and gentlemen. This is not the end. This is the beginning of a brand new era, a brand new day. And all God is looking for is for people to stand up and separate themselves from the world. If you're peculiar, you've got to separate from those that are not peculiar. Separate from yourself from those that are down. And say, I'm full of faith. Separate from those that are critical and say, I'm a praiser. Separate from those that say, God's not going to do anything and say, oh, I'm a word woman. I'm a word man. I'm going to stand on the road. I'm going to separate. I am so peculiar that I stand out from the crowd. And God is looking for those people. He's not going to bless a crowd of doubters. He's going to bless those that are peculiar in faith, that are set apart and stand out. And ladies and gentlemen, I prophesy in the Holy Ghost that this thing has come and it will pass. I heard a doctor on television say, and he's one of the main doctors in America today, he said this thing will never end. He said it's going to be like cancer. It's going to be with us forever. Now that's a man that's got knowledge, but he doesn't have faith. Ladies and gentlemen, I am like Solomon. Solomon had a ring that he wore. He had specifically made, history tells us. And you know what that ring was inscribed in jewels? It said, it will pass. And so no matter what Solomon came to, he just look at that ring and say, it will pass. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what the scientists say or the doctors say. My God's not out of business. He's not run free of mercy. He's not through with grace. He's not run short in miracles. This will pass. And praise God, those that have great faith in this time are going to see a great harvest and a great manifestation in your life. But you got to get some crazy faith. You've got to get faith that makes you a laughing stock. You've got faith that causes people to hold you in derision. You've got to get faith that other people just want to get away from you because they want to go moan and complain and just get in their little hole and say, this is the end. And when you come along, you're like sunshine. Oh, there's a lot of things that don't like sunshine. So I heard some doctors say the greatest thing for this virus is sunshine. I can believe that because God sends sunshine and it does all kinds of things. Your faith ought to be like sunshine on a dark day. You ought to be saying, oh, this is a day the Lord hath made. I'm going to continue to rejoice, and the Lord's going to do a new thing in my life that He's never done before. There are going to be miracles happening in my life. My faith says it's great. This Goliath is coming down. This Goliath is going to turn me from David, the little obscure shepherd, to David, the king. Goliath is the one that transformed him. And friend, I'm going to tell you, this pandemic can transform you into somebody that's normal to somebody that's abnormal. Somebody that doesn't have to somebody that possesses the land. God is looking for peculiar people. And friend, you need to turn up your praise. You need to exalt your prayer. You need to begin to praise like you've never praised before and say, praise God, I see what other people don't see. I see the hand of the Lord. I see the coming of the Lord. I see the power of God. I see God about to do a new thing in America. Whatever it takes, God will use love to draw. God will use grace and favor to attract. But God's going to do whatever is necessary to bring America back to Him. And friend, this pandemic is not something God designed, but when it came, God said, I'll just take that as a component of what I'm going to do and add it to the mix, and all things are going to work together for those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Friend, I'm asking you, have you got faith? You said, yeah, I got some faith. Oh, no, not some faith. Do you have crazy faith? Do you believe this is your best day? Do you believe this is your finest hour? Do you believe that God's going to do something in your life that you've been waiting for Him to do in years? I believe it, ladies and gentlemen. I predict that there's a revival coming, a harvest coming, a restoration coming, miracles coming, signs coming. God is a good God all the time. And friend, I haven't given up on God. And let me tell you one line right under that. God hasn't given up on me. Because so He said, you're a peculiar person. You separated yourself. And what God is doing right now is He is designing a miracle and a blessing that is going to exactly fit you. It's not a hand-me-down. It's not one size fits all. It's exactly what you need in life. And all you need to do is step aside. Get out of the crowd. Get away from the common opinion and say, God is good, and God's going to do something like this world has never seen, and I'm going to praise Him like I've never praised Him. He is the author and the finisher. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and the last. He is my mighty God. He is my shelter. He is my healer. He is my restorer. He is my provider. And that God's in this house right now. And I want somebody in this building that has got crazy faith to get out of your pew. Run, do not walk to this altar and say, I seize this moment because I've got crazy faith and God is going to do in my life something peculiar and strange that's never happened before, and I'm going to seize the moment in the name of Jesus. If that's you, make your way to this altar in the name of Jesus Christ. My sister, you're the first one. God is saying, I see your faith. I see your faith. I am particularly designing a blessing that will fit you to the T. In the name of Jesus, I call it done. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.